That's waste. Now, you know what? If you went to see a ball game, that's where you'd want to see it, just as close as you can. And that's why you get in the habit of doing that in church. It's good for you. All right? Y'all got something, Brother Jason? Come on now. And then we got something really, really special for all the parents and the young people. Amen. All right. I didn't mention a minute ago. Y'all pray for Jeremy. Brother Jeremy Huggins, one of our deacons. He's been really, really sick. 103 fever. Michelle had him in the hospital today. And Jason McClellan also is sick today. There's a lot of bad flu and stuff going around. So let's pray for them, both of them fellas. Michelle sent me a text a while ago. Said they're at home now, but they can't keep his fever down. That's bad. 103. So he's a big, tough guy, too. So let's pray for him. Amen. All right, ladies.
Listen, kids, the world will tell you all kind of stuff. They'll tell you came from a monkey, and they're liars. They'll tell you might have been born attracted to somebody that you're not attracted to.
That's right.
And they're a bunch of liars. Listen, the Bible says you're born to serve the Lord. And we learned this song down the road down there in Alabama, and the Lord used it. And I think the Lord just used this song kind of, went with all the preaching and everything that went on down there. And listen, the Lord's got a purpose and a plan for you.
Ones who need a little patching up. loving heart and a tender touch. If everybody loved like she does,
there'd be a lot less broken bones.
20 years later at a shelter on 18th Avenue, a 17-year-old girl walks in all black and blue,
with needle tracks in her left arm, almost too weak to stand. She says, I'm lost and I
He'll
need
help,
help, as Maggie takes her hand, says, come on in. She loves the broken
one who need a little patching up, sees a diamond in the rough, and makes it shine like new. It really doesn't take that much, a willing heart and a tender touch. If everybody loved like she does,
there'd be a lot less broken. She's just doing what the one who died for her would do.
He loves the broken ones, the ones who need a little patching up. He sees a diamond in the rough and makes it shine like new. It really doesn't take that much, heart in a tender touch. If everybody loved like God does,
there'd be a lot less broken ones.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? Isn't that great? God loves the broken ones.
God loves the broken ones. What a blessing. Amen. All right, we got one more special for you now. Before the message, I appreciate, we got a crowd of young people. I don't know if y'all realize it or not, but we probably got over 50 young people here on an old, cold January night, and a lot of people didn't come because they thought we weren't going to have heat. Isn't that crazy? That's a blessing. You know, most churches you go to tonight, you'd be lucky to find 5 young people. That's the truth. I've been in them. Lucky to find 5. We got 50 here in the middle of January, and we're dead cold Sunday night. So, we have some young talent here tonight. I'm going to sing a song for you, you might know. You are privileged to get to hear it. Come on, sister. Amen. Introducing the next gospel singer of the next generation. And you'll recognize this song as she sings it. Ready?
My walk, my shield, my Jesus, His will, I can feel deep in my soul. One day He saved my soul, and He made me whole. My Lord is real, I can feel Him in my soul. One night we tended, yeah. That I'm attending the Bible. I must see, save myself from sin. My Lord, from headed home. My Lord is real, I feel Him in my soul.
Yeah.
Would that say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, sister. Amen. Amen. All right. Get me on here, guys. There you go. All right. Now I want you to take your Bibles and get them open now tonight. And I want everybody to pay attention And I got something real special for you, I believe. This is actually a message to parents. It really is. And so you kids are going to have to sit up here and pray for all them backslid old people that you see from day to day. Mark chapter number 5. Everybody get your Bibles open tonight. I want to show you a story here about a man by the name of Jairus. And Jairus had a daughter who was 12 years old. And I want us to look at what happened to this young girl here tonight and what Jesus did for them. All you parents, listen very carefully tonight. And you kids, I'm going to illustrate it for you. Mark chapter number 5. All right. Look at verse 22. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Everybody look at it. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, that's Jesus, he fell at his feet. Watch it, parents. And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her. Parents, are you getting that? Are you getting that? Here's a man begging Jesus to come and touch his daughter, that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thrown him. The Lord won't turn you down if you ask him to help your kids. Now, look at verse number 35. Verse number 35. Another little story took place in between there. But in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. She died during this time. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered him, no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel, this young girl, by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. All right. Girl here. She's 12 years old. It does not give her name. Oh, yeah, Squish. Come on. Come on up here. Are you 12, 11 or 12? She's 11. All right, you're just... When's your birthday? September 16th. Her birthday is in September. She'll be 12 in just a few months. So we're going to let her be this girl in this story tonight. This man had a daughter, 12 years old. Lordy mercy, you don't look almost 12, does she? But she is. Do we have any other girls here that are not that are 12? Is there another girl here tonight who's 12? Would you raise your hand, please? No girl here tonight that is 12. How about 13? Any girl here tonight that's 13? Okay, several of them. So they're in between her and these ladies over here. 12 years old. Now the Bible says that this girl got very, very sick. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to make her a couch like this, a hospital bed, and we're going to let her lay down here. All right, you just get right there, Squish. And I'm going to put you this little sheet over you like you are sick, okay? You can put your feet on that part this time. It's an exception. All right. She's showing respect to the house of God. All right. She's sick, and she's about ready to die. And her daddy's saying, oh, no, what are we going to do? And the mama comes in and said, well, did you give her some medicine? Yeah, I've given her medicine. Oh, honey, are you all right? Gosh, she's so hot. She's got a fever. And The clinic's closed. There ain't no such thing yet. They ain't been invented. And I don't know what we're going to do. Give her a shot. There ain't no such thing as shot. What we're going to do? We'll just have to call on Jesus. We'll just have to try to pray. And maybe the Lord will help her. Now, I need... Brian, come up here just a second. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I'm gonna let him represent her daddy. You can be her daddy here just a second, all right? Now here comes her daddy, and he's walking the floor, he's crying, and he's praying, and he's praying the Lord will touch his daughter because she is so sick. Listen, did y'all know that there's little girls in the hospital? I went down there at Winston-Salem in the hospital before, and there's little girls that size right there, y'all size, that are really, really sick. They're all over that hospital. Down there at the Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem, and they got tubes running down their nose and in their ears and everything, and they're almost ready to die. Matter of fact, they die down there. It happens all the time. So God's been good to y'all by letting you feel good, hasn't He? Hadn't God been good to you by letting you have your health? If you feel good, don't gripe because you have to come to church. You ought to thank God you feel good enough. You could be down there in Winston-Salem in the hospital somewhere and with about ready to die. And this little girl, she was so sick, and all her family gathered around, come on over here, Dad, get down on your knees. And they prayed, and the Bible said, this is where this story got started. I want you to watch how this story got started. He fell at the feet of Jesus. He fell at the feet of Jesus. Now, parents, I heard, I think Mommy and Carrie told me, did y'all know that yesterday, somewhere not far from here, an 11-year-old girl died with the flu? Died with the flu. Did y'all hear about that? That's awful. That's terrible. 11 years old. Not even a teenager yet. Already gone into eternity. But here's what he did. I want you to notice, first of all, parents, when this man's daughter was sick, he fell at the feet of Jesus. He fell at the feet of Jesus. The Lord was here, and He run to him, and He said, I know who can help my girl. I know. Now, you got to remember something now. All right, I need one of you girls that's 13. Come up here. One of you, which one of you wants to? All right, one of you, come on up here. Let's go. All right, come on up here, Sister Reese. Get up here. All right. Now, I'm gonna let you do, like they do on TV. This is her before she got sick, okay? So you imagine now, this is really her. They're both. Now, I want you to notice something here tonight. All right. Now, when I say three, I want you to act like you're sinning, okay? All right. I'm gonna get you a cigarette here. All right. And you're gonna smoke this cigarette, and I'm gonna get you something to drink. And she's got a old cup of wine here. All right, there's you a cigarette smoke. Here's you a cup of wine right there. All right. Now listen. Now I'm gonna show you something here tonight. And I want you to just sort of All right. All right. When I tell you to. All right. Now, listen, there's a lot of girls out here living like this that are 13 years old. There's a lot of girls like this saying, I'm going to make a video and I'm going to put it on YouTube and I want everybody to see and act stupid. Listen, if you're dumb enough to do it, that's one thing. But if you're dumb enough to put it on there, you're double dumb. You are double dumb. I mean, you're dumber than you are. And you think you're some kind of movie star or nothing. You're really just making a fool out of yourself and people laughing at you. I guess if you're dumb enough to do it, you're dumb enough to put it on YouTube, I reckon. I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to show you something here tonight. She's sinning. All right, on the count of three, you're going to be a sinner. Wipe that innocent look off your face. She's too innocent look. All right, ready? One and a two and a three. Sin. All right. Now, she's out there sinning, and she's a sinning, and she's a sinning, and she... Oh, you have to have that? Wait a minute here now. She's wickeder than I thought she was. I didn't think you had it in you. All right. Y'all got it in you, ain't you? We all got it in you, ain't you? That's right. You do, I do, we all do. Got that sin in you, boys and girls. When that rock music comes on and them people start dancing, it ain't right. It ain't right to dance the rock music. It's wrong. And you know what? The Lord, listen to me, that's her. The Lord looks at that the same as He looks at that. You may not be laying in the bed sick tonight, but if you're living in sin, Your daddy goes and says, God, help my girl. Same thing. As a matter of fact, you're better off like this than you are like that. Whole lot better. She was sick, and the Lord, He said, Lord, help my daughter. But if your daughter's sinning, she's a lot worse off than you is doing like this. A lot worse. That ain't a sin. All right, you ready? Here we go again. She, before this happened, she's this. She's sinning. Go ahead. All right, she's out here partying, and boy, I mean, the lights are flashing, hitting her in the face, and her boyfriend comes around, you know, and says, hey, sister, let me have a drink of that. And boy, next thing you know, I mean, they're going somewhere, and they're out here, and they're in his car somewhere, and they're driving down the road, and you know what? There's a lot of Christian daddies tonight. There's a lot of Christian mamas tonight that their daughter's out there living in sin, and they're right here saying, Lord, please help my daughter. You know what the Bible said? You know what the Bible said? The Bible said he besought the Lord greatly. He besought the Lord greatly. Are you pastors? Listen to me tonight. He didn't go to bed every night and say, Lord, help Haley in Jesus' name. Lord, help Squish to keep her out of trouble. He didn't do that. The Bible said he besought him greatly. You know what you mamas need to do? Get a hold of Jesus every morning and besought him greatly for your child. You know what you daddies need to do? Get a hold of God and say, Lord, Lord, please. Lord, please. Lord, please. You know what I heard? Years ago, when mamas used to pray instead of watch TV every morning, preacher came to the house one day and knocked on the door, and a little boy came and he said, where's your mama at? He said, Mama prays from 9 to 10. Mama can't talk to you. Mama prays from 9 to 10. Instead of griping about how bad things are, how about you mamas getting back in your prayer closet? But you don't think we need it? You look at these kids up here tonight. Thank God most of them are good kids. But I'm telling you, every one of them needs a daddy that'll get a hold of Jesus for them. And needs a mama that'll besought him greatly. All right, you can sit down. Thank you. You stay up here, Brian. You're praying. The Bible said he besought him greatly. He didn't say, oh, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day and help me as I go play golf and bless Squishy. In Jesus' name, amen. He got down to business. If your child is sick, that's a picture of sin. If they're rocking and rolling and drinking and cussing and smoking the pot and living for the devil and like rap and like rock. You say, why do you always say that? Because the devil's biggest trick is that music. You can't get away from it. It's everywhere you go. And you will not listen to the wrong kind of music and stay the right kind of person. It's impossible. It cannot be done. It cannot be done. It cannot be done. Now, if you're in a place and you work and you have to hear it, you ain't got no choice and the Lord will help you. But if you deliberately do it on your own time, it will mess up your life spiritually. You say, well, I like it and I don't want to give it up. You're a brat. You're not going to hell. That's the least you can do for not going to hell when you die. Mama prayed. And then they got some discouraging news. A man come, he said, I hate to tell you this, but your daughter's dead. I heard about a lady one time. Her name was Miriam Hamer. She was in St. Louis, Missouri. Back in the year 2000, 14 years ago. She was at the hospital one night sitting with her 82-year-old mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law was an old saint of God, and they were praying there, and the mother-in-law started singing, It is well with my soul. By the way, the only way you can not listen to bad music is make yourself listen to good music. I used to have these certain songs, and every time I'd start singing a bad song, I'd make myself sing the good song because I'd drive it out. Because don't songs just go in your head? They just go in your head. I heard one the other day, and it just got in my head and just went around and around and around and around all day long. And I couldn't get it out of my head. And finally, I just started saying, when peace like a river attendeth my... And pretty soon, that bad song will go out, and the good song will get in your head. That's what the Bible said. By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. And so, learn how to do that. Get you some good songs off the choir CD, and every time you start thinking of a wicked song, like some idiotic person like Katy Perry or somebody, get you a good song and drive it out. And I'm going to show y'all at the youth rally how wicked, Katy Perry and Kesha is a satanic cult leader. She's inspired by Satan. And her song that she's got out now, Jason was telling me they sang one of her songs in some church somewhere. But listen, did you know what? That she's inspired by the devil. That stuff will get you, and it'll mess up the way you think, and it'll make you do stuff that you wouldn't normally do. And you parents are going to have to set the rules. You say, well, I can't make... I heard about the CD I'm going to give y'all in a little bit. This one right here. I'm going to give every family one of these here in a little bit. This CD tells about a young man who's coming up. His mama would go in his room. And his mama would every once in a while go in his room. You say, well, my mama's not allowed to come in my room. Oh, yeah. It really ain't your room. It's your mama and daddy's room. You just get to stay in there because they're nice enough to feed your sorry belly. Same man right there. They got a right. You know what you mamas ought to do? Every now and then, on a random basis, say, let me have your phone. And go through it. Completely. And know their password. If they don't give you the password, take it away from them. You say, my mama ain't got no way. You got something on there you don't want her to see? You say, that's not right. Yes, it is right. It'll help you do right. Because see, if you know you can hide it from her, first thing you know, you got this picture. And next thing you know, you got that text. And next thing you know, you got this. And mama don't know nothing about it. And it's really none of her business. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's just trying to keep you out of trouble. She's just trying to keep you. Let me read you something here tonight. I'll tell you the rest of that story here in just a second. Let me read you something here tonight. Every 30 minutes in this country, every 30 minutes, 29 teenagers will attempt suicide. Every 30 minutes. What makes them do that? Every 30 minutes in this country, 57 teenagers will run away from home. Every 30 minutes in this country, 14 teenage girls will have a baby that is not married. And 22 more has an abortion. That means there's 22 have an abortion for every 14. 22 and 14 is 36. 36 teenage girls getting pregnant every 30 minutes in this country. You tell me we ain't got a problem. You tell me we don't need to get to Jesus. You tell me some mamas and daddies don't need to get a hold of God for their little daughter. That's a shame. Listen, I hate to say this, but there's teenagers sitting in here tonight spiritually are in that shape right there. Dead. The Bible says she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Dead. You're dead. You're dead. That's why we ain't got somebody up here rapping with you and giving you some contemporary junk that ain't going to put life in you. You know what you need? You need the same thing we need. The pure devil preached out of you. The same thing mamas and daddy need. I don't believe there is a generation gap in the Lord Jesus Christ. Same old salvation God us will get you. Same music we like, you'll like too. Same Bible we believe, you'll believe too. You don't need a new Bible. You don't need a new worship. You need to get a hold of the real thing and that'll satisfy you. In the next 30 minutes, 22 teenage girls will pay a doctor to kill their baby. I knew a girl, Marion, several years ago. She got saved and started coming to church. And she's a cheerleader on the football team, cheerleader. And her and this other girl started coming. She's about 16 or 17. And they come every service. And I mean, they was eating it up. And they sit on the second row. And I mean, there's like, you ever seen little birds? And you know, they're just like this. Everything I'd say, they just eat it up, eat it up. And I got to noticing one of them wasn't coming regular. And I said, well, what happened to her? And one day her sister called me. She said, Brother Daniel, you need to pray for her. Next thing I know, she come in the door back there and had something stuck on her arm. He was about that tall. About that big around. She said that was a boyfriend. Lord have mercy. Listen, I ain't never seen a good looking guy. But I know if I was a girl, I would say he's ugly. To me, there's no such thing as a good looking boy. And if you're a boy and think other boys are good looking, you're sick. You got problems. You got major problems. Amen? Boys ain't good looking, are they? You ugly. You ugly. I'm ugly. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. No, they're not. Never hear one of you boys say, "Oh, he's so cute. Get away from me, you perv." That's right. And you know what? She come in one day, had something stuck on her arm. Here he comes right here. You know where he wanted to say it? Way back yonder somewhere. Lord, I have a boyfriend. Let's don't go up there. I don't feel comfortable. Let's don't go to Sunday school. I don't feel comfortable in Sunday school. And try to pull you out. He ain't man enough to sit up here. He ain't much anyway. I mean, drag him up there. Drag him to camp. Drag him somewhere. Get him in there. And you know what that boy coming? He sat down there and she just sits there like this beside him. Like that. She was completely zapped. She was sitting there listening to the Word of God, and then the next thing you know, her whole life was Him. If you only knew what a mistake that is. I mean, it's normal to like each other and fall in love and all that. That's normal. It's a part of life. But if you own, their whole world can't be Him. And her sister called me one day. She said, "Brother Danny, pray for her and call this girl's name." I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "She's gone to Asheville today to kill her baby." She said, "She's like several weeks pregnant. We don't want nobody to find out about it." She told everybody at school she's going to stay a couple of days with her grandma. And she went over to Asheville and paid several $100 for a doctor to take an instrument and kill that baby inside her. Murder. Now she's not just guilty of fornication. She's guilty of murder. See how one sin gets you into another sin? Haven't you ever told a lie or something like that? And then you have to tell another lie to get out of that lie, another lie to get out of that lie. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. If this has happened to you, I'm trying to keep these kids from going down that same road. And you know what? Here she was a year later in the grocery store. And in the grocery store, she sees a woman, and she's got a little blonde-headed girl, and she's got pretty curly hair, and she's doing it like this, and she thinks, "That's how old my baby would be. I wonder if my baby would have pretty curly hair. I wonder if my baby would kiss my neck like that." And I don't know where she's at right now. She's probably 30 years old now. But she lives with that every day of her life. Every day of her life, she'll never forget it. And you know what happened? She chose to go against what God said, and she paid for it. When you sin, when I sin, when we sin, anybody sin, there's always a price to pay somewhere down the road. 685 teenagers in the next 30 minutes will try drugs of some sort. 685 people. I hate to say this, we're losing the war. The church is. Now, we're going to win eventually. I'm telling you, we're losing this generation. We are losing. I'm telling you, I asked somebody this morning. I was talking to some preacher. Some preacher called me. He said, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of the great revival we had in 1994. They're running around here, never seen nothing like it before or since. And we had a great revival in 1994. A preacher called me today. He said, "Brother Danny, have you got that on video?" He said, they go to church in Hickory over at Gene Gouge's. And he said, "We try to tell our young people what it's like, and they can't understand it. We want them to tell." He said, "Have you got that on video?" I said, "I'll try to find it for you." He said, "I would to God we could see something like that." I said, "Brother, you just hardly don't see it no more. This generation has forgotten God. This generation don't even know how to worship God. This generation hadn't been taught how to worship God. We're losing the battle. If we don't get back to..." You know what we need? Some mamas and daddies that'll do that right there. How about it? 30 minutes a day saying, "Besought Him greatly. Lord, help my kids. Lord, help my kids. Lord..." Not, "Lord, bless Squishy today. And bless Skyla. And bless her. Lord, help my kids. Lord, help my kids. Besought Him greatly." That's what the Bible says. You want to get something from God? A serious crime occurs in this country every 2.6 seconds. Burglary every 10 seconds. Violent crime every 27 seconds. A car gets stolen every 29 seconds. There's an assault every 51 seconds. There's a robbery every 68 seconds. And there's a rape every 7 minutes in this country. Murder every 24. Gambling is out of control. People think it's cool and cute. You go in the store, they say, you want to buy a lottery ticket? No, I don't. Amen? I make an honest living and earn what I get. Thank you. Amen? I'm telling you, we're living in a time when people have no kind of morals whatsoever. I heard about a teenage girl. She's about 14. Matter of fact, she came to me after Sunday school one day. I was teaching them being mean to people, and this girl came to me and she said, I want to ask you a question, Brother Danny. And I said, what? And she said, my boyfriend, he's got a really bad temper. She said, he just goes off, goes crazy. And a lot of people's like that. I get a demon in him, have a terrible, just fly mad. And she said, he hits me. And she said, I just want your opinion. What should I do? I thought, oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. This girl is 14 asking me, what should she do about her boyfriend who hits her? Now, I'll tell you what that is. That's not a real love. That's an addiction. Like a drug. That ain't love. Love don't hit do you like that. That ain't love. And I said, tell you what you do. Next time he starts that stuff, take two fingers like this and point them right at both of his eyeballs. And I mean, you go boom just as hard as you can. Amen. He'll leave you alone. Call the cops. Have him put in jail. He ain't got no business touching you. He ain't got no business putting his hands on you and hurting you like that. You say, my boyfriend said something. I'm scared of him, Brother Danny, because he asked me all day, did I speak to another boy? Well, that little insecure jerk. He must not be much of a man. Yeah, I can't speak to another boy all day long or he'll get mad at me. Well, what's his problem? He's scared you're going to find somebody? He ain't much, is he? Say amen. I ain't talking about flirting. A man ain't supposed to control you. Like, you ain't even married. Hey, if you ain't married, there ain't no boy got no right telling y'all nothing. Nothing. Now, when you're married, that's a different story. But if you're just dating and you let him tell you every move you can make, he don't want me to wear makeup. He don't want me to wear. He don't want me to go here. He don't want me to go there. You tell him where to go in a nice Christian way. I heard about Mackenzie Emerson, a teenage girl. Her mother fell on some ice and went to the doctor and they prescribed her Oxycontin. And Mackenzie began to get in her mother's medicine cabinet and stealing those pills and started taking them. Now, I know how popular this is. And I want to show you parents something here tonight. How many of you kids have ever heard somebody at school or some of your friends talk about taking pills that you ain't even prescribed? Raise your hand, please. Raise them real high so they can all see them. Well, that's just about 99% of them. That didn't used to be like that, y'all. Wasn't like that 10 years ago. And Mackenzie started getting her mama's pills and taking them and getting high, and she got all messed up. And she overdosed. She started taking 4 and 5 and 6 at a time. She'd go to her friend's house and get in their medicine cabinet to see if they had any. And she overdosed at the mall with some of her friends. And her mother tried to keep her breathing until the ambulance got there. And they said, pills are everywhere. She got discouraging news. Somebody came to her and said, sir, your daughter's dead. Now listen, that's the world. That's the world. He's praying for his daughter. He run and got a hold of Jesus. Listen to me, parents. He run and got a hold of Jesus. Lord, will you help my child? Will you help my child? And the world comes and says, your daughter's dead. You're wasting your time. Taking her to camp. Taking her to youth group. Taking her on activity. Taking her with the choir. Why don't you just quit? That's the world's job and a lot of so-called Christians' job is to discourage you from getting your child. How many of you parents have ever had somebody in your family say, I don't see why you have to take them every single family. Nah, nah, that's the devil using your family and kinfolk to keep. They discourage him. They said, your daughter's dead. You're wasting your time. You ain't no use in you praying. Listen, brother. Put your fingers in your ears. Keep talking to Jesus. Don't won't give up. You know what they come? They come to him and said, it don't matter. They're all on drugs. You know they're going to do it. You know they're going to have premarital sex. Don't worry about it. That's the devil talking to you. You hang on to Jesus for these boys and girls. I told you this morning about old Justin Bieber. Bless his heart. Poor little old nut. He ain't got enough sense to even know what he needs. They say his mama's a Christian. I hope she is. You know what Justin Bieber needs? He needs to go to camp. That's why he's messed up. He needs to go to camp. I'm going to call him and see if he wants to go with us this year. Amen? Sure. Amen? So I bet it would be fine with you. I'm going to call him. I'm going to go rep. Tell his lawyer, I want to speak to the bee. Who are you? I'm Danny Castle. You don't know me. What's wrong with you, babe? You ain't been around. Ain't you been watching, preaching on YouTube? Don't you ever listen to Pig Destroyer? And you know what? Old Babe would say, hey, Brother Danny. I'd say, Babe, I'll pay your way. I know you can't afford it. I'll pay your way to camp if you'll go with us this year. It's in Greenville, Tennessee. Buddy, we get over there. Let's start saying, Jason, hit that piano. Them girls from Alabama and our girls get all together. He'd feel a spirit like he's never felt before. He'd hear singing like he's... He said, I didn't know there was such songs as this. I never felt this before. Old Bebe liable to get up and hit the altar. Amen. Glory to God, brother. We'd pile in on top of him like a Dallas Cowboys. Holy Ghost, get the demons out of it. Get rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'll get out of here and rebuke the devil out of it. And then I'd sign him up and give him a King James Bible and say, pay your tithes, boy. We need a fellowship building out here on the hill. That's what I'd do for him. You know what that money, did y'all hear about that baseball pitcher? There's a baseball pitcher, some great pitcher, y'all, you baseball fans probably know who it is. Signed a deal, $220-something million. That means he gets $10,000 per pitch. Every time he throws the ball, $10,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Minimum of 9 times an inning. Probably 18 times an inning, probably. Wouldn't you say 15? And there's 9 in a game, 100 times a game. $100,000 a game. And I bet you anything that'll never make him happy. Arnold Schwarzenegger, next Sunday night, is getting $3 million to be in a Super Bowl commercial. Next Sunday night, we'll be having a Glory Bowl here. And he gets $3 million to be in a commercial for the Super Bowl. And it ain't going to make him happy. He's a weird kind of a dude. Something weird about him. He talk funny. You know what Arnold needs? He needs Jesus. You say, oh, Brother Danny, those people, no, they're just like me and you. They hurt. They have boogers in their nose. Their breath stinks in the morning. I mean, they have this burden. They fear death. They worry. They're scared. They get headache. They need the Lord just like me and you do. Somehow or another, we think those people are up there so high they don't need the Lord. Oh, yeah. He got some discouraging news. And then, let me say one more thing or two and I'll be done. Jesus spoke. He said, Lord, would you please touch Squishy? Please touch Squishy. Please, Lord. And I said, oh, ain't your daughter's dead. Ain't no use in praying for her. And the Lord spoke to him and said, don't be afraid. She's not dead. She sleepeth. Whew. Buddy, I tell you what, I've heard that voice before. The devil's told me my girls over there tonight, all three of them sitting over there. Raise your hands over there, girls. They say you've got people who don't know you. Hi! Listen, them girls sitting over there tonight, the devil's told me before, they're dead. One night, a long time ago, Linda Hout, well, took Carrie and Shelley to Gatlinburg. You remember that long time ago. And I don't think Linda ever drove over by herself. And you didn't have cell phones. And they got back on Interstate 40 and went the wrong way, going toward Knoxville somewhere. Well, I waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you couldn't call back. Finally, my phone rung. It was when I said, "Where are you at?" I could see them, picture, in overturned in a ditch. I could see them in my mind, going in the hospital. I mean, you know, have you ever done that, parents? Has the devil ever told you, "I'm going to get your kid. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. I'm going to..." You know, when they start getting up teenagers and they're out, buddy, in them cars, you're going to reap what you sow and what you put your mom and daddy through. You wait. First time them teenagers leave in them cars, you think, "Oh, Lord." And the Lord will say, "Remember what you did when you was that age?" And you say, "Lord, please don't let them be like me. Please let them have better sense. God, please let them have better sense. God, please let them have better sense." They said, "Your daughter's dead." And the Lord spoke and said, "No, they're not." You know what? I thank God for them few times when the Lord spoke to me and said, "They're all right. They're going to be all right. They're going to be all right." Hallelujah, the Lord spoke to him. That's what you want to hear, parents. You want the Lord to speak to you and give you that assurance that He's got His hand on your kids. Well, oh, can I say this? That girl would have died and stayed dead and never come back to life if that man hadn't prayed. People say, "Oh, well, you just got to turn them loose when they get 18 and hope for the best." Uh-uh. You're crazy if that's your philosophy. He wouldn't let Jesus go till He touched his daughter. By the way, this stuff about them being 18 and it's all right for them to do whatever they want to ain't in the Bible anyway. I don't know who thought that up, but that is not in the Bible. I don't care if they're 25 and they live with you, they're supposed to do what you tell them to. That's right. You paying the bills, you make the rules. Right. I heard a guy this week told me, "All you kids, parents, listen to this." He said, "My daddy told me if I ever got out and got trouble and got locked up, don't call him because he ain't coming to get me." Now that's hard, but that's good advice. If you run down there and get them out of trouble every time they get locked up, say, "You sit there, buddy, and learn your lesson." Old Jack Wood, he had one of his boys got in trouble. And somebody come and told him, said, "Preacher, they got your boy locked up down there in jail." He said, "Leave him in there." And he left him in there. And that boy got out and went to college and got a degree and become a lawyer. He learned his lesson. He learned his lesson. But if you get them out of trouble, every little old time they get into it and run down there and bless the teachers out and fuss, "Your little darling's never done nothing wrong," you're ruining that kid. Well, I've got so much I can't say it all tonight, but I'll say this and I'll be done. The Lord touched her and He said, "Talitha kuma, tashala shanta, squishy, arise." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pass the Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. Right. She's alive! Hallelujah, hallelujah. No, He didn't do that. The Bible said He'd come and laid hands on her. And she became, "Okay, Daddy, she's alive now." He was asleep. Asleep in the prayer closet. "Is your knees numb, brother?" And Daddy came over here, and his daughter's alive. And the Lord healed her. And they went happily off together back home and had a great and wonderful time. She's alive. She ain't eaten nothing in 6 weeks. Lord have mercy, girl. You feeding this kid? She's alive. She's alive. She's alive. And you know what? I've seen a lot of parents that close to giving up. And that's why I say get them in some good old-fashioned Holy Ghost services. And sooner or later, the Lord going to touch them. And you'll say, "They're alive. They're alive." I used to pray for my girls to come to the altar. "Lord, let them come to the altar. Lord, let them come to the altar on their own. Not me make them. Not say everybody come. I want to come to the altar." And one at a time, I saw them all get saved. I saw them all get baptized. I saw them all. And let me tell you something. There ain't nothing in the world any greater than seeing your kids. They're not perfect. All of us are here. Mine's a long way from perfect. I am too, and you are too, and yours are too. But thank God, if they're saved and trying to live for God and going to church, you ought to be astonished. That's what the Bible said. They were astonished. Glory to God, Squish. I thank God you're alive. Amen. Shout a little bit there, sister. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. All right, now you take a shouting spell like this when I tell you to. I don't think you're ready to do that, are you? All right, you do it, Brian. You know what? They were astonished. They were astonished. Here's what I believe. I personally believe that youth camp is the best thing for your kids to be in. I've been pastoring since I was 23, barely turned 23, 22 and a half, 23 years old. I've never seen nothing help kids like youth camp. Youth rally's great, see a lot of people saved, but nothing helps kids long term like camp. And keeping them in stuff like we've had here tonight. You know, most kids in America tonight have never even heard anything like you've heard tonight. Never. Not one time. And that's why they think church is dull and church is boring. Real church ain't boring. Real worship is fun and it's enjoyable and you have a great time. You can be seated here just a second and I'm going to be through. Thank y'all. Y'all can be seated. This woman in St. Louis, Missouri in 2000 was sitting talking to her 82-year-old mother-in-law and they sung It Is Well With My Soul. She prayed then at 10:30 at night for all of her kids. At that moment, 21-year-old Timothy, her son, was in a car. They were going home. Listen, because these kids are going to be out in cars. Some of them already are. The rest of them are going to be pretty soon. That's when it starts getting spooky, man. And they take off down the road in them cars. And a car cut in the side of them, spinning them around in the highway. See, even if you're the best driver in the world, some fool will come out of nowhere and broadside you. It can happen any second you're out on the highway. And it does, all the time. The car behind them run into them. And when it did, a truck came up behind them and crashed into the side. Timothy, 21 years old, hit the windshield, flipped that car over, and it hit him. They hit so hard that it slung him out of the car and literally knocked off his glasses, his watch, and his shoes. There's a lot of cases where people, when they get hit in a car, knocks them out of their shoes. That's a hit, buddy. Shoe, glasses, laying over there. And over a guardrail, slung him over the guardrail, down through some grass, into a pond. And he looked up and saw that car coming after him, down that hill. And it stopped that far from him. And Timothy looked up and said, Jesus! He got home. He told his mom, he said, Mom, I've been in a bad wreck. And he just had some cuts and bruises on him. And she said, that's the second me and your mama-in-law was praying. Another lady had a son named Jeremy. He worked at a car wash. And he worked at this car wash. And one night, his mama was coming home and passed by the car wash. And when she thought of it, she said, Lord, please protect Jeremy tonight. And as she went by there, at that moment, a man come in to rob that place and had a gun to that boy's head. And he said, give me all your money or I'm going to shoot you right now. And he said, all of a sudden, that man just looked past him like he could see something else and dropped everything and run out the door. And he said, Mom, it was like he saw something else. And she said, that's the second I was praying for you, Jeremy. And he said, I believe you, Mama. I believe you. So it's not only important for you mamas to learn how to pray for your kids. It's important for them to know that Mama has a God that she can talk to and He's real in your life. Mama, if He ain't real in your life, He ain't going to be real in these kids' life. Daddy, you know what impressed this little girl? Daddy greatly besought Jesus. Instead of trying to get 4 new jobs and give them everything they want, get a hold of Jesus. I'd rather you'd be better off not to have as much financially. And everybody in the family loved the Lord. That's the reason I never did. I'm not saying you're wrong if you do this. I never did want my girls to go off way off to college somewhere, way off somewhere. I thought they'll marry some Yankee and move to Chicago and I'll never see them. I don't want that. Now, if it's God's will for them to do it, okay. But I want to know they're right and wanting old-fashioned Bible preaching, hellfire and damnation, King James Bible-believing church where Jesus can touch them. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes here tonight. Our musicians are coming. Nobody's talking. Nobody's moving. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The Lord's moved in here tonight. It's been tough, but we've got the victory here this evening. And I want to know every parent, every child, every teenager. You said, Brother Danny, I was so right with God when we went to camp. Now, I just don't know what's happened. I went to school now for a few months, and I've done got backslidden full of the devil. It'd be a good time just to get your heart right with the Lord, young lady. Young man, she's playing softly. We're going to pray. We're going to stand. We're going to sing on the first verse.